Matthew here describes for us what happened when the time had come for Jesus to begin his ministry. When John was put in prison, John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, Jesus then returned to Galilee and he began to preach just what John had been preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, to understand that phrase, the kingdom of heaven, we have to think about what it would have meant to Matthew and to the people that Matthew wrote his gospel for. Matthew was writing to Jewish Christians. Matthew's gospel is the most Jewish of the gospels. And so Matthew uses the phrase kingdom of heaven instead of the phrase kingdom of God. It's Matthew's substitute phrase for kingdom of God. And the reason that he used it was because according to Jewish law, it was forbidden to say the name of God. And so Jewish people often use the word heaven to mean God out of respect and reverence for the name of God. And so when Matthew talks about the kingdom of heaven, he's not referencing a place. He's not talking about somewhere that we go when we die. He's talking about God's kingdom coming here on earth. He's talking about revolution, and that's what his original hearers would have heard. They knew that he was saying that Christ is bringing a whole new way of being in the world. Things are changing. Huge transformations are coming. The kingdom of heaven is near is a declaration that God is about to rescue God's people from foreign rule and put everything right. Remember, the Jewish people had been ruled by other groups, foreigners, for centuries. And they longed for the day that God would put a king in place. And that's what the kingdom of heaven is near meant to them, was that they were going to have God's king rule over them. What they didn't realize is that the worst foreign rule that all of us are subject to is our own internal rule, right? God created us for himself, not for us. And so a lot of times we don't let God rule our lives, and the reason is because we want to be in charge, right? We like to rule ourselves. We like to think of ourselves as self-sufficient. We like to think we're in control of things. The kingdom of God delivers us from our own selfish, sinful natures, and we are no longer under the control of sin and its consequences. The kingdom of God is the reign of God's will instead of our will. The will of God is near, said Jesus. Peace and justice are near. Love is near. The kingdom of God is all about relationship. One afternoon, Jesus was walking along the shore there at the Sea of Galilee, and he saw a couple of brothers in their boat, fishermen, Andrew and his brother Simon, but he was called Peter, so Jesus started calling him Simon Peter. Come, follow me, he said, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. And then on around the lake, there were two more brothers, James and John, and they were in the fishing boat with their dad, and Jesus calls them too. And Andrew and Simon Peter left their nets at once, Matthew tells us, and followed him. And James and John immediately left the boat and their father and followed him. At once, immediately, they left behind their work and their family and their lives to follow him. Now, when I first started thinking about this passage, I thought about transformation and how they had to be transformed completely. And let me be honest with you, the disciples didn't get all that transformed. They got it wrong a lot. And so I couldn't make that whole premise work. I just couldn't make that work. Their lives changed at that point, but they didn't change completely, and they still messed up a lot. But that day, they started following Jesus. And some scholars think that they must have known Jesus already, because otherwise, why would they start following him, right? Maybe they had heard that he was teaching in the region. Maybe they had already even heard him preach. So when he invited them to be his students, his disciples, and follow him, they must have been astonished to be asked. Can you imagine how honored you would feel and ready to go? I mean, surely James and John's dad Zebedee said, get out of the boat and go. Well, maybe. But I think whether they knew Jesus or not, he was a person who radiated light. He was the kind of person that you just wanted to be around. He didn't invite them to follow a set of rules. He invited them to follow him. Jesus' invitation is an invitation to relationship. And when Jesus invited them, they couldn't possibly say no. Pastor and author Andy Stanley captures the difference. He wrote, "Lots of people think Christianity is all about doing what Jesus says. But what if doing what Jesus says isn't what Jesus says to do at all? Jesus' invitation is an invitation to relationship, and it begins with the simple request, follow me. Religion says, change, and you can join us. Jesus says, join us, and you'll change. There's a huge difference, isn't there? Jesus doesn't expect people to be perfect. He just wants them to follow him. Being a sinner doesn't disqualify anybody. Being an unbeliever doesn't disqualify anybody. In fact, following almost always starts with a sinner and an unbeliever taking one small step. All Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John did was step out of their boat. They just put down what they were doing that wasn't following Jesus and took a step. Now, for thousands of years, we have been trying to better ourselves, haven't we? And History Channel, I think, is the original source of the idea that the Babylonians started New Year's resolutions 4,000 years ago. And I never trust History Channel's history, so I'm just going to put that out there. But if they're right, 4,000 years ago, the Babylonians started practicing New Year's resolutions around mid-March when they started their new year with planting. And that kind of makes sense to me. And the Babylonians, remember, took over Israel. And in the midst of exile, the Jewish people picked up the idea of New Year's resolutions. And then, of course, that filtered down to Jewish Christians and on into our everyday secular lives, that when the new year rolls around, we should make a resolution. Estimates are that this year, 45% of Americans made a New Year's resolution. So you can think to yourself, am I part of that 45 or not? And only 8% actually achieved their goals. So, it's been a month. How are you doing on your New Year's resolution? I'll be honest and tell you how I am doing on mine. Dr. Moe said I needed to walk more. So, my New Year's resolution was to start walking. Or maybe do just a couple of sit-ups a day. Or maybe a plank. I might start with a plank. I did one plank. I did on New Year's Day. And I haven't really gotten around to figuring out which one of the three I'm going to do regularly yet. And I'm not really sure if I'm going to do it in the morning or maybe in the evening. And I did talk to Chris and said, you know, we could walk together in the evenings. And I bought an audiobook so that I can put my earpods in and walk and listen to an audiobook, which sort of defeats the purpose of inviting Chris to come along with me. And it's cold. So for a while I was thinking it's really kind of cold. And then Dad said I could come and walk on his treadmill, and so that sort of got rid of that excuse. And so now I just really haven't figured it out yet. What if that had been the response of Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John to Jesus? Yeah, I really kind of want to get to know you better. Right now I've got a lot of fish I got to sell today. I'm not sure that tomorrow's going to be better. I will. I'm just not sure exactly what that's going to look like or when I'm going to start. It all starts with one step. The kingdom of God is near. We just have to take a step toward it. You and I are invited to be a part of it. It's not something that's coming. It's near. It's already near. And our invitation is at once, immediately. But here's what we tend to do. We tend to make kind of fuzzy commitments, like my New Year's resolution. I'm going to find my place of service. I'm going to get more involved in the church. I'm going to start to give more. I'm going to read my Bible sometime. I need to figure out where to start. I might participate in something one day, somehow. Well, I want to. So here's your invitation. 1 month from today, February the 26th, is Ash Wednesday. It's the beginning of Lent. The early church began observing Lent to prepare new converts to the church for baptism on Easter. And Lent is 40 days long. It's patterned after the flood of Genesis that was 40 years, Moses at Mount Sinai, Elijah's journey to Mount Horeb, Jonah's call to Nineveh to repent, Jesus' time of testing in the wilderness. All of those were 40-day periods. And it is a time for us of prayer and self-examination. It's a time to repent and prepare for the coming of God's kingdom. Because the kingdom of God is near. Peace and justice are near. Love is near. It's all about taking a step. And it's all about relationship. Come and follow me is Jesus' invitation to be his disciple. And it's an invitation to relationship. And so this year during Lent, you are invited into deeper relationship. First, relationship with Jesus. You can't be in relationship with somebody that you don't know. Is that true? I'm pretty sure that's true. You can't be in relationship with somebody that you don't know. You can't be a disciple, you can't be a student if you don't listen to the teacher. And so you are invited to get to know Jesus better, to study his life so you can follow him. And our daily devotional, I've got a copy of it right here, will be Jill Duffield's book, Lent in Plain Sight. And we will be learning to see God working in the common and the ordinary things of life. And you will have an opportunity to buy the book and read it. Every day it has a verse of scripture and then a short reflection, about 2 pages on that scripture, and a few questions to think about and a prayer. First, your invitation is to a relationship with Jesus. Second, a relationship with other disciples. We're going to have small groups that gather to talk about the readings and to get to know each other better. When we know each other, we do a better job supporting each other, loving each other, holding each other accountable. Because see, what I needed on that walk was somebody to say, did you remember that you made that commitment? Have you thought about what you're going to do? I didn't tell anybody I committed to that. I just sort of told myself, yeah, someday I'll start walking. That's what happens to us if we don't have people who hold us accountable. And third is relationship with those in darkness. We are bearers of the light. And as you journey through Lent, you're going to have opportunities to reach out to somebody who's hurting. It will happen, whether it's at work or at church or at the grocery store. You're going to have opportunities to reach out to somebody who is hurting, or to provide a meal, or to send a card, or to offer to help somebody. You're going to have an opportunity to put your arm around somebody who's discouraged and to encourage somebody who wants to give up. You'll have opportunities here at church like Rise Against Hunger to provide meals for school children in developing countries, or to wash sheets for Room in the Inn, or to play Scrabble with one of the kids who come who are homeless. There's a new thing with Room in the Inn called Navigators, to partner up with someone who has recently been rehoused, recently gotten a new place to live, and to help them as they begin the process of making good choices in their new place of living. You will have opportunities to bear light. And as you bear light in the darkest places, you're going to see Christ's face looking back at you. That's what's amazing about going into the darkest places, is that you think you're coming with Christ's face on you, and you bring that light in there, and guess what? You see Christ looking right back at you. How will you respond to Jesus' invitation to follow him? With vague ideas about how you should, and you would if you could, but not right now. Or at once, immediately, will you put the work in your hands down and follow him? Thanks be to God for his invitation. Amen.